You may have noticed upon entering the church today that we've added the Magi to our nativity scene over here. There may be three, there may be four, I can't remember exactly how many we have here, but it's interesting, Matthew doesn't specify how many wise men there were. What do we know about the Magi, these mysterious figures from the East? We know that they were learned men. You might say the academics or the scientists of their day. They were most likely Persian astrologers. They observed the stars. They studied creation and tried to understand its meaning. It's possible even that what they observed in the heavens was a supernatural appearance to the Magi. God may have been communicating to them using a language that they understood, the language of the stars. And of course, we know they set out on this journey to find a king. They saw the sign and they said a king must be born. And they went to find him, fulfilling the prophecy of Isaiah, who prophesied that there would come a day when divine light will shine over all God's people, drawing nations who will be grateful for this light. The presence of God with us, Isaiah says, will not only draw the chosen people of Israel to Jerusalem, but even distant nations with vastly different cultures. Just for context, in Isaiah's time, when he was prophesying some 700 years or so before Christ, Israel was one of the weakest of nations, just a tiny vassal kingdom in southern Palestine that would soon cease to exist as an independent state. They were surrounded by far more powerful nations in this time, all with their own gods. And so the idea that all nations would come to Jerusalem to worship the one true God, that would have seemed absurd in Isaiah's time. Only through divine revelation could Isaiah have received such foresight into a future that seemed humanly impossible in his own day. I've never been to the Holy Land. I'd like to go one day. Maybe some of you have been. But I can imagine going there today is like witnessing in real time the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy, first realized in the Magi, the gathering of all the nations, peoples from all over the world, to Jerusalem to worship this King, Jesus. And today, there's somewhere around 2.4 billion people who identify as a follower of Christ. One in three people on earth, about half of whom are Catholics. In modern times, the faith has really exploded in areas that were once closed to the church, like sub-Saharan Africa, for example. There's always, of course, as we know, an ongoing spiritual battle taking place in all places. But nevertheless, it remains true that a multitude from all nations has indeed gathered to the light. Jesus has appeared for both the lowly, as we see represented in the shepherds. He's appeared for the faithful, as we see represented in Mary and Joseph. And he's appeared for the outsiders and the intellectuals, as we see represented in the Magi, the wise men. What about the gospel, though? You remember that gospel in Matthew, which says that God has hidden his plan from the wise and the learned, and he's revealed them to babes? How does this apply? Well, these magi, these wise men, these men who've given their lives to learning and the acquisition of wisdom, are not puffed up by their learning. They demonstrate a true wisdom in their humility. They get down on their knees. They bow before something greater than themselves, before the love of God revealed to them in this newborn baby in his mother's lap. We should follow their example. That's true wisdom, recognizing there's a limit to earthly wisdom. When they encounter God, when they encounter love. What else can we learn from the Magi? Well, they come bearing gifts, we're told. Gifts of gold for Christ's kingship, frankincense for his divinity, and myrrh for his humanity. But you know what the greatest gift they bring to Jesus is? It's not gold. It's not frankincense. It's not myrrh. The greatest gift they offer is the gift of themselves. I learned this, actually, when I was on retreat a couple years ago, several years ago now, preparing for my ordination to the priesthood. I remember praying with this gospel. It was around this time of year. It might have been, in fact, the Feast of the Epiphany. I was on a retreat, and I was feeling at the time rather inadequate for the task that lay ahead. Not worthy, ill-equipped, etc. And as I prayed with this gospel, I thought of the Magi, these learned men, these wise men who came bearing gifts befitting a king. And I just asked the Lord, Jesus, what do I have to bring you? What do I have to offer you? What gifts do I bring that will be pleasing to you in the priesthood, in my future? And in the silence of my heart, in that chapel, the Lord reassured me, you have the gift of yourself. The gift of yourself. And that's true for every single one of us. Not just for me. We don't just bring God our best, what we're proud of, the parts of ourselves that look good, while withholding from him the parts that we're ashamed of. That'd be like going to the doctor when you're sick and sharing with the doctor only the things that you're doing well. Well, I've been exercising, I've been eating well, keeping my diet, and not sharing with the doctor where you actually need healing. There's that pride again. The truth is that God wants a loving union with you and with me, with nothing kept back by us. That's what another thing we can learn from these wise men. Bring God all of us, all of you. And there's no better time to join yourself to God, to join your heart to God, than in the Mass. No better place. In fact, it's essential. It's essential that we prepare a gift of ourselves at Mass if we're going to be transformed by God's grace as we ought to be. In the Eucharist, we come before the King of the Jews, lying not in a manger, as the wise men found him, but presented to us on an altar in the humble form of bread and of wine. So try this. As you come forward to greet the King, to offer something to him, think of what matters most to him. What does he want most? He wants you. So when the gifts of bread and wine are brought forward in the Mass, remember, that's the time to offer up your heart to God, both the good and the bad and the ugly. All that you are, so that you can find yourself united with others in heaven and on earth, all over the world, members of Jesus' own body, transformed by his Spirit and offered in loving union to the Father. That is why Christ came. And this offering of ours that we bring freely will be a true gift to God. It will be a pleasing gift to God, and one that he's unable to have without us.